I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all
Hi, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a great show for you tonight, jam-packed with information as usual, and we'll be discussing the true history of the Earth. We'll be talking about the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act, and we'll be also talking about the Shalaniya transcript, a little bonus information for this evening. And I'd just like to thank those who have been regular listeners of ET Yoga over the last months. And just like to share with you for a moment why I do ET Yoga. First off, I love it. I like the connection between extraterrestrial and yogic knowledge. My background was with Swami Satchidananda and Paramahansa Yogananda, Sri Ramana Maharshi in the yogic realms, and way back in the old days with Baba Ram Das. And extraterrestrial-wise, my connections are primarily with Bashar, the Esasani, the Pleiadians, Arcturians, and Syrians. And one of the things I love about ET Yoga is that it's the kind of show that I'd want to hear if I was a listener. And what kinds of things would I want to hear in a show? Well, those things would be out-of-the-box information that's of high quality, pointing me in directions that I can follow up on, especially as those relate to self-empowerment and maximizing the immune system. We're open to discuss any topics on this show related to higher consciousness, attaining self-realization, and thus it's just the kind of show I want to be part of. And that's why I bring this show out every Friday in hopes that it might make a difference to some person out there that's looking for that answer. And I'd also might add that I feel like one of my chief strengths, actually, is as a resource for information. And because I've been around or heard so much information and answers from so many masters and extraterrestrials, that if you do have a question out there and you'd like to ask online, you can do so by calling toll-free 888-876-5227 in the United States. That's 888-876-5227. And in Canada, that's 888-815-9756. So in Canada, you can call in toll-free 888-815-9756. Now, for the last few weeks, it seems like I've been trying to bring up the product of the week, and I did bring this product up once before, but now we have some specifics, and that product deals with sacred geometry and the crop circles, and specifically animated crop circles. Now, about 2 years back, during my lunch hours when I was at work, I used to download these animated crop circles and use them as meditations, and there used to be about 12 or 13 on a website, and that was at Sacred Geometry, and this is the Genosh Sacred Geometry and Genosh crop circles that are linked with the Arcturians. And one of the things that became obvious to me from dealing with these crop circles was that they're an amazing meditation, and in specifically they activate latent DNA, and they also have a frequency. And all of these crop circles that are from the Genosh sacred geometry and Arcturians have a very positive effect on human beings. And I actually downloaded in color about 32 8x10s of these years ago. And they're just amazing focus points for meditation, and I even use them outside water jugs to imprint water with their vibration. So I pass that on to you, and I'd also like to pass on that this can be found under Sacred geometry, as in G-A-I-A-M-E-T-R-Y. And it's called Sacred Geometry with HemiSync. And this particular product now is no longer free on the internet. It does cost $42.95, but it's an amazing product. And in 2007, it was the Multimedia Product of the Year. And I highly recommend it. It's just absolutely fantastic. I mean, when you look at the crop circles themselves in the field, they're amazing. When you're actually in them, that's amazing. But if you haven't had the opportunity to actually be there to feel the vibration, this is the next best thing. And the way the Janosch art, he's just made these beautiful colored crop circles like the ones in the fields that are found, and now they've got them animated so that it's actually a total meditation. So I'd highly recommend those. And my quote of the week actually comes from, guess who? Bashar. And the quote is, what is imagination? What is I-Magi-Nation? Meaning, we are a nation of magicians. And it takes a little time sometimes to catch on to this next part of this, but anything you can imagine is somewhere actually happening. And Bashar says this is because you can't imagine non-existence. I'm going to read that one more time, because if it really clicks in, I think the appropriate response is, wow. I, Magi Nation, a nation of magicians. Anything you can imagine is somewhere actually happening, because you can't imagine non-existence. That's my quote of the night. And now, moving on to the heart of the matter, which relates to the history of the Earth. And you know, this topic comes up because I think there's two basic questions that have always been sort of out there for mankind to solve. And the first one is, why are we here? And the second is, where did we come from? And for those that are listening to ET Yoga, I'm pretty sure most of you that have hung in there with me over the last few months are pretty sure about why you're here. And that relates to either a self-search, self-realization, becoming one with your higher self. Something along those lines is probably your key mode of operation. Now, moving on to actual Earth history. I found a couple of really interesting connections, and the first connection to the Earth history comes actually from a book called UFO from the Pleiades. And back in about 1987, I came across this book, and it's the Billy Meyer story. And I know Billy's sort of been blasted from all sides, and maybe a lot of disinformation about Billy's out there, but one of the things that I always felt was in my gut was that this experience had validity. And I've heard lots of tapes since that time of Billy, and I'll be honest, I'm not in agreement with everything Billy says, but you know what? His contact with Plagiarians or Pleiadians, in my opinion, is right on. And there's lots of aspects to his story that are absolutely amazing. And some of the information in his book, which were direct quotes from Semjazi, who was a Pleiadian. And one of the things that I would like to pass on is a direct quote from UFO from the Pleiades, and that is this. According to the Pleiadians, the Lyrians were the original, to us at least, ancestors of our branch of our life stream of evolution. Many thousands of years ago, their civilization in Lyra reached a high technological level, and they began to travel in space. They were free will creatures and had control of their destiny. At a certain point in time, they fell into disagreement and divided into factions with different ideologies and different goals and objectives. They eventually went to war and destroyed much of their society and ruined their home. Escapists, seeking to avoid the anticipated outcome, fled from their native system and found homes in star systems that we call the Pleiades and the Hades. They also went to nearby Vega. In a few thousand of years, they had raised those societies to high technological levels and once again were able to travel in space. Some of the Pleiadians of Lyrian ancestry, on their travels, discovered our planet and its nascent life evolving in a very hospitable atmosphere. They stayed and settled briefly in later Lemuria and early Atlantis, some even mixing with Earth creatures and becoming Earthmen. Those who remained apart and did not mix soon produced highly evolved technologies here, and they designed and built many wonderful machines and devices and created comforts and conveniences of all kinds. Again, they came into conflict, and the society became polarized into two camps, each possessing marvelous technologies. Eventually, they went to war, and terrible destruction resulted. Those who could escaped to other regions of space and started all over again. Some of those beings are now also visiting us occasionally. A long time later, a new wave of Pleiadians arrived to check on the descendants of their ancestors who survived the terrible war. They found survivors, and again they mixed with them and assisted Earth humanity in getting control of its assets and producing a new technology. This society became the later Atlanteans, who raised their sciences to levels that produced air and undersea travel before that civilization was also destroyed by surface war on Earth. The modern Pleiadians are descendants of the peaceful faction that settled in the star group which astronomy gives that name. The Vegans visiting us now are descendants of another peaceful group that settled a planet in the Vega system. The descendants of the Lyrians, long evolved beyond the conflict stage, are now interested in our welfare and feel a special responsibility toward us since we reflect the earlier warlike tendencies of themselves. They lost much in their history of conflict and destroyed themselves several times and lost their great technological advances each time. According to the story, they even settled another hospitable planet in our solar system, the fifth one from the sun, which was actually destroyed in a war of nuclear weapons that got out of hand there. This is part of their concern about how we will use our nuclear sciences now. And I found that that quote particularly interesting because tonight I'm going to be involved with a couple of transmissions. One will be channeling from Sal Rochelle from the Founders concerning Earth history, and clearly there was a connection there as well as being in consistent harmony with the Pleiadians talking about the Pleiades and the Vega star systems. But first, this is kind of a bonus for the week, is I've mentioned a few times about the Bashar tape concerning the Shalanaya. And Bashar says the Shalanaya are the civilization that we will have first open public contact with. And I have for you this evening a direct transcript through Bashar called the Shalanaya Transcript. In your traditional way, once upon a time, there was many of your years ago, but yet to you still many of your years in the future, a world which was fashioned for the purpose of continuing a civilization that had brought itself to the brink of destruction. And this world was fashioned so they could have a second chance at perpetuating their culture, their civilization. These are the ones who made us. The ones who made us found your parallel reality and other parallel realities and fashioned from their own genetic material and yours several hybrid species of which we are one. I began my incarnation in my civilization 137 of your years ago, but yet still 2,700 years in your future. As I was born in my society and allowed to be telepathically connected, I did not forget my connection to my spirit, my higher mind, my oversoul, in which was made an arrangement, an agreement, wherein I would have also what to me is a past life on your world, which is the channel before you, and that's Daryl Anka. And in that arrangement was set out certain parameters for how that communication would occur, would evolve. And it was taught to me at age 3 that I would contact my past self also at age 3 and form the bridge and the link that would connect us through this life. And I was taught the way of doing these things, for I knew and I remembered that this would be my expression, my passion, to open gateways and open doorways for the consciousnesses of those on the threshold of new awakening and new realities and new experiences. And I was filled with great joy to realize my becoming. And as my orbits around my central star progressed and I became what you know as the seventh year of life, thus then was I also introduced to another who was to be a counterpart in this endeavor, who as a female of my society would also be an initiator of the opening of the gates and the opening of the doors. And as such, I would eventually take upon myself the apparition that you have come to know as Bashar, so she would take on the apparition known as Anima. Anima. And in this way, together, we would work to initiate contact and open many doors so that those civilizations with whom we would interact would eventually be those who would join the Alliance of Worlds. And in this way did we grow and train and learn and explore together. And before my time, there was the creation by those that made us of a repository of knowledge in our world, and not only upon our world, which in our ancient language is Esasani, place of living life, but on all other worlds they had fashioned and also placed thereupon other hybrid races, and that we remind you to know yourself fully. Look to your Arizona area in your year of 2010. There shall be another opportunity to connect with the Shalanaya. Look to your Arizona area in your year of 2010. There shall be another opportunity to contact with the Shalanaya. In your year of 2008, you shall have an opportunity to set in motion the circumstances in your society that will allow for the initial recognition to occur in 2010. In 2012, there shall be, in a variety of what you call sacred sites, another opportunity for recognition of the Shalanaya. 5 years hence, what you would call your year 2017, there shall be the first broad awakening of the memories of the contacts that have occurred in and around various cities. People will awaken to dream that memory. There will be at first psychological confusion at that, but at your year of 2020, the dreams will explain themselves sufficiently so that all of these that remember will communicate with all others that recall, and there will be the establishment of communication vehicles, centers, sites on your internet for those that remember the encounters that will reveal themselves in the dreams. After your year 2025, there will then begin a series of limited open contacts in isolated areas, predetermined, preselected, pre-chosen on your planet. In and around your year 2030, there will be preparation for large-scale open contact in your year of 2033. These events are as we read your energy now. You have the ability in the year 2008 to put exactly this timeline in motion. You also have the ability to extend this timeline depending on what you do in your year 2008. It is in your hands now more than ever before. Begin open dialogue. Begin to request of open discussion of what your government knows of extraterrestrial existence. Strong these opportunities that exist in 2008 for the change of your American government. Infuse that change with recognition not only of what must accelerate to aid and assist the environment of your world, but simultaneously with the idea of contact with higher, different, other intelligence. Begin in whatever way, in representative of your passion, these dialogues, this infusion, these ideas. Use your imagination. Come from the knowing you. Do not be afraid of the dream. Do not be afraid of the dream. And but which we know you will continue on with, for we would not at this point be speaking to you had you not taken the fork that would allow for the family reunion. We thank you for taking that fork. And even though we know there are still what you would recognize as the dark days of confusion, when it does not always seem as if you are moving toward the light from our perspective, the gift you have given to us of life allows us to reflect our knowing back to you. That is the road you are on, for we are on it with you, and we will never, ever leave your side. Though we may present ourselves in various ways at various times and express our beingness with you in a variety of endeavors that shall take different forms, that shall transform, always it will be with the essence of ourselves, lest within that endeavor that shall continue side by side with you, the Anani, our ancestors. For we thank you for the gift of life, and I thank you for my experience on my world and on yours simultaneously. I am enriched, and we are all enriched by each and every experience you allow us to have of you. For we not only discover more of ourselves in our own world, in our own reality, but we discover more of ourselves through you, through the aspects of you that are within us, as your ancestors, as your descendants, as your children. Fear not, worry not. You will become what you desire to be, for we see you as you are in our time. And in our time, you are among the stars, and you know who you are. And in our time, there is another form of life on Earth, learning its lessons, creating its experiences. But you will leave behind a few things they will ponder, and they will ponder about you and where you went, and in spirit you will guide them. Even as in body, you will explore other worlds and assist others as we assist you, other star systems evolving, other cultures evolving, and you will contact them much as we have contacted you, and you will be their entities and make them wonder what lies beyond. And you will bring them up the ladder with all of us as you take your place as a full-fledged member of the Interstellar Alliance. That gathering which together synchronistically expands and enriches all who participate, all who harmonize within it, because the core is the freedom to be the fullest individual and to learn that by being such, that is what creates the harmony of unity. That diversity and that strengthening of your diversity, your true nature, is what allows for the harmony of the unification to express itself perfectly and allows for the continued expansion within all that is. We share with you our beating heart, for it is with the unconditional love of all that it is that we speak with you. Each of you would play a part in a variety of ways of opening up remembrance, contact, and continuance with the ancestors, which are you. Anani, in our ancient language, the ancestors, the ancient ones, who are in that sense from whom we are made. We are in that sense all the hybrids, your extension and your children, but each plays a different role in the remembrance and rejoining a family. We play our part in initiation, but there are those who will be the first to make open contact with you, who have begun to show their ships to you, as we have named them, those encounters you have come to know as the Phoenix Lights, being represented as one such group who shall be the first, and are now through us allowed to represent that as we are Esasani and you are Anani, they are the Shalanaya, which means those who will come first. The Shalanaya are our cousins and brethren and your immediate children. From those experiences you have labeled abduction on your planet, which is for the further perpetuation of the species of those who made us, your counterpart, humans, in a parallel reality, who have mutated beyond the recognition of the human form and in so doing prevented themselves from continuing in the same manner as which you do through reproduction, but in contacting their parallel selves, of which you are parts of the same oversoul. To, shall we say, initiate the idea of contact through what you have called the abductions, did form bonds that were unexpected in their oversoul to allow them to glean and glimmer a new sense of emotionality and the potential of what you can become as a parallel reality that take a path unlike the path they took. They recognize that you are similarly heading down the same road of destruction, but know that for you, there is a fork that they did not take, and in so creating the hybrid races, such as ourselves, did put upon us the task of assisting our ancestors, the Anani, to aid and assist in waking you up as you travel down that path, so that by the time you arrive at the fork in the road, you will take the one they did not take, and you will take the one that will allow you to continue, and you will take the one that will allow you to rejoin the family, which they have taken from you in perpetuating themselves, the family that shall return, the first of which being the Shalanaya. As they return, as they open contact, they will bring gifts of knowledge and awareness. They will remind you of your true history, not history in the singular, but histories, all the way back to the origins of the DNA that has plowed its way through space, finally arriving in the solar system you call your own and setting up incarnations. On the planet that has been destroyed, Marduk. On the planet that has been destroyed, Mars. On the planet that has yet to be seen as whether it will live or die, the Earth. Do not be afraid of the dream. The dream is what will awaken you. That is the paradox. Dare to have the dream that will awaken you. Know yourself. And as you know yourself and give off more of the frequency of your true essential nature, the Shelanaya shall recognize you by that sign and shall gravitate towards those they must meet when the time comes, when the reunion happens. This is simply our opportunity to share these ideas with you, to share these possibilities of unfoldment with you. And then he gives a quote from one of those on board that would represent a hybrid. Child, mommy, daddy, we will soon no longer be just in your dreams. Mommy, daddy, if you will help us, we will live side by side on a new world that will be both yours and our home. Until then, we will be in your dreams. Good night, mommy. Good night, daddy. We will see you soon. Your world is preparing to experience a level of unconditional love in the near future, unprecedented on your planet. Even in ancient times with other civilizations that were far more connected, far more in remembrance of their connection to spirit, never before on Earth have you gone through the darkness to the light in this way. And the remembrance shall be profound by having taken that path, and the love, once regenerated, shall never be lost again. And in 1,000 of your years, you will no longer incarnate at all as humans on your world, but will, as we said, leave it for others to use for their own journeys, their own experiences, their own discoveries of self. And you will guide them, and you will aid them. You will be their spirit. You will be their entity. You will be the ones to whom they turn for guidance. This is your legacy, even as it is wrapped up tightly with ours, for we are one family, and as family, we are inseparable. We love you, all of you, each one of you, forever and ever and ever. We are going to remind you now to know yourselves. Remember the simple things we have shown you here, the simple way, the I am, to be in knowing, the dot on the paper. That's all it takes. Know what you know. You don't need to know what you don't know right now. That is sufficient for you to be all you need to be in this moment. Enjoy yourselves as we enjoy you. Once again, take a deep breath, let it out, take another deep breath, let it out, and let all the anxiety go. No worries, no anxiousness. Take another deep breath and hold it and hold it and hold it. And as you let it out, release and say out loud, I am. We will extend to each of you at this time, in perfect timing, our deepest heartfelt unconditional love for the co-creation of this interaction, and simply we remind you that no matter in what form it comes, there are more surprises ahead, more excitements around the bend. Your imagination is limitless. Let it be your guide, and it will always lead you into the perfect place and the perfect time and the perfect surprise to discover more of your knowing self. And we will see you in and between your dreams. Our unconditional love to you, and good day. And that is a channeling from Bashar through Daryl Anka. I might also pass on to you that if you're interested in a video of Daryl and channeling Bashar, there is one available that I just came across on Google search. And the Google search, I just punched up Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, and about the second choice down, there was a meeting with Bashar. And it's in someone's home, and there's probably 10 or 12 people there. And Daryl's doing one of his original channelings. And actually, Daryl has shared kind of what happened with Bashar 25 years ago or so when he started channeling Bashar. And he used to just channel for his friends. And pretty soon, more and more people were coming to hear it. And eventually, they needed to rent a place to have everybody hear it. And now, of course, Daryl's traveling worldwide. And in my opinion, the information from Bashar is absolutely fantastic. And the whole point of his going around and doing the channelings is to provide information that change people's lives. And there's really no focus on proving that Bashar is extraterrestrial. He presents himself that way, and should you care to accept that, that's your choice. But the main point is the information. And I thought it was kind of appropriate that they made reference to imagination in that transcript of the Shalanaya. And I'm now going to connect with another channeling from Sal Rochelle, and he has channeled the founders on Earth history. And I'd like to begin with that channeling. And it goes like this. Greetings, beloved creators. Today begins a very special series. Most of you hearing this message have attended history courses in grammar school, secondary school, and college. This will be unlike any history course you've taken in your so-called traditional Earth schools. Today we will look at the true history of your Earth. The scribe has written a brief history of Earth in his book, but even that is incomplete. We will attempt to outline your planetary history in a broader stroke of the paintbrush, keeping in mind that time and space are illusory in nature, and any portal of timeline is subject to distortion. Do we have a caller at this time?
Yes, Scott here. Hi, Charles. This is Scott.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing tonight?
Doing okay. I was just wanting to talk about Bashar because I'd been told by Galexis to read Bashar's book. This was about 3 years ago, and I thought that was just so cool to read.
Blueprint for a Change?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, I think about a year ago I was on the Bashar website and he was doing individual readings, but I think, has that changed? Is he still doing individual readings or is that kind of put on the back burner for a while?
Well, as far as I know, you can still book an interview in Los Angeles through the Bashar website at www.bashar.org, and that you can still book individual channelings with Daryl, and obviously, channeling Bashar.
Okay.
And those need to be in person. However, I'm also aware of the fact that Daryl is producing a movie right now, and it may be that those individual interviews are on hold at the moment.
Okay. I would think it would be probably advantageous if they could, I don't know if you have a connection with Bashar, in terms of downloading the tapes and the information, for example, I go to the Lazarus workshops a lot, and you can download stuff now. You don't have to do with mailing charges, because there's so many tapes of Bashar that I want to get now, but to be able to download, because they're starting to move more into, I noticed that you can attend the Bashar workshops by listening by phone, and they're starting to do new things like that are kind of moving us into a different, a faster resonance for those of us who aren't going to travel to California every time, that sort of thing. So I don't know if that's in the works, but that would be really neat if they were able to download, if I could download tapes instead of having to pay mailing charges and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess my take on that would be here's a couple of things you can look up at home.
Okay.
For example, look under Daryl Anka channelings by Daryl Anka.
Okay.
Another one would be Just Bashar. Another one would be Esasani.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of another one, because what you'll find there is a whole bunch of stuff that you can download. A lot of his tapes and things are, in fact, on the net there. And, you know, it's interesting that I've never noticed. I only came across that myself this week. I was looking for the Shalaniah transcript and couldn't find it listed. And I was looking under all kinds of different ways, because I found it once and then I couldn't find it again. And when I was looking under these topics, I saw these. Many of the tapes are, in fact, you know, out there, but I've never seen any other place that directs people to them. Mm. And, of course, I'm not part of that particular, you know, process. I don't, I'm not, you know, connected with Bashar and Daryl, other than, and I might as well bring this up now and talk about this because it seems the right time. I was going to mention this at some point in the show anyway, but I was the chair, actually, of the group that came up with the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act and worked with Daryl on that as well as a group of us. And that was about in 2005. And the reason that we did that was because Bashar had asked for people to become involved in writing up a bill. And we have the bill, and actually you can see a copy of the bill at the Bashar website.
Wow.
And I know that Patricia Corey, who does the Syrian Revelations, has promoted this as well, and as a number of people around the world. And what we're trying to do, obviously, is show that there is, in fact, sincere interest for people to make contract with extraterrestrials who present themselves as peaceful. And in the past, there was actually an old Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act that was very negative and punitive with consequences. And we wanted to make a bill that would make it easy for people to relate their experiences, as well as there to be public knowledge of the contacts that will be made in the future. We didn't want to get involved with the history of previous contacts, but kept the bill very alive.
Wow.
And so anybody that's interested in actually volunteering to do work on this, you can find more information about this, too, at the Bashar site. So I just wanted to pass that on, too.
And you're telling me that. I want to share some experiences I've been having here. I have, like, two bedrooms, and one of them I have all my crystals in one, and I have a vast assortment of them, and I'm out of the corner of my eye, and this has happened on two occasions. I've seen an extraterrestrial-looking body moving through my apartment to the crystal room, and I'm starting to suspect, with my own connection with Sirius and my own connection with Arcturus and my own connection with the Pleiades, genetically speaking, my own connection with Zeta, genetically speaking, that there might be some kind of activity that I'm starting to become aware of, that things are starting to, like, as you say, they're starting to open up. And
exactly. In fact, I've heard Bashar state himself that most of the people that connect with Bashar information, you've probably seen him in your presence. It's just that you don't remember.
Okay.
And as time goes on, you you might just remember kind of a fleeting glance or whatever, but the extraterrestrial, of course, many of us are worked with in the evening time during the dream state, but I thought that was quite interesting with Bashar. They're everywhere and anywhere they can be, so if you have an interest in the subject, you'll find that that will probably keep opening and opening.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you very much for phoning in. I really appreciate it.
I'll talk to you.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Right on. Good night. Okay, I'd like to continue now with our history of the Earth. And the time frames that are going to be given are the rough equivalents to your current 3D timeline. However, as this channel and many others have recently indicated, time can be changed and modified by your own awareness. Therefore, history is not written in stone, but is an ongoing tapestry of events continually being rearranged and rewritten. All of time is like an infinitely large fabric, and each thread represents a probable or possible reality. The 3D world is a series of threads that are imprinted in the Akashic energy medium. Each event in 3D is an imprint, and this electrical impulse is recorded as having actually happened. yet any event that has actually happened can be moved into another timeline, and you, beloveds, can jump from one timeline to another, both individually and collectively. Therefore, if you desire to change history, you can simply select another thread in the fabric and make that your new timeline. In your physics, you call experiments with this idea quantum entanglement. With this brief disclaimer, as you like to call it, we will begin. The universe you find yourselves in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God. This point of light was contained within a greater point of light, which was contained within a greater point, etc., into infinity. There is an aspect of the Godhead that has always existed and that expands and contracts an infinite number of times. All of life is continually expanding and contracting, much like that device you look through with the colored glass, the kaleidoscope. During one of the expansion phases, approximately 4.5 billion years ago, your world you call Earth was formed out of primordial dust and gas. Like all newly formed worlds, it was mostly hydrogen and a few other gases, not containing the kind of life you know. Throughout this physical chemical process, the Godhead, in an expansion phase, differentiated itself into units of consciousness which later became known as souls. These original souls, called the founders, are what we represent to you. We were the original sparks of light that were showered out from the infinite source during this expansion. Our individuality began approximately 1 billion years ago, and we went forth to explore the creation. We found millions of planets in their early stages of development, including your world, and we remained in the form of sparks, although actually to you we look like large blue-white stars, due to our relatively rarefied level of vibration compared to the vibratory rates of these worlds. We were unable to experience life directly on any of these worlds, so we would simply overlight or hover above the atmosphere of these worlds and observe the chemical processes taking place. At some point in the distorted time-space continuum, we decided to embed a tiny part of ourselves into the evolving worlds in order to experience them more directly. To do this, we created a multitude of energy patterns, precursors to what you call the DNA molecule. You would call these precursors light packets of conscious energy. These light packets were able to descend in vibration down to what you would call the ninth or tenth density. At that point, we were able to create intricate configurations of light codes, which you now call DNA keys. These DNA keys were the actual building blocks of life as you know it. We then densified these keys down to what you call seventh density, the first level of the actual DNA codes. As seventh density beings, we were finally able to experience this expanding universe directly as inhabitants of evolving worlds. We scattered our seed throughout the universe, going to many regions of the ever-expanding galactic clusters. As the clusters differentiated further into individual galaxies, we began the process described above and incarnated into several regions of each galaxy. Your galaxy, the one you call the Milky Way, was seeded in several quadrants. Your quadrant began in what you call the Lyra Vega region. I want to point out here that this is exactly what the Pleiadians said in UFO from the Pleiades. And now to continue. It is here that the first seventh density forms were manifested through manipulating and permutating the DNA codes. It took us nearly 900 million years to perfect this process, and it is only within the last 100 million years that we were able to create the life forms in all the densities down to third density. The process of differentiation is difficult for most Earth souls to comprehend. The best analogy we can give is that of cellular division. Each cell that divides from a parent cell becomes an individual cell in its own right, just as powerful and creative as the parent cell, if not more so. Each 3D, 4D, 5D, 6D, or 7D being that fragmented off from our parent selves, our 12th density core, became a sovereign being, or whole and complete soul, as it grew and evolved through time and space. At the same time, each fragment, as it becomes aware of its higher aspects, is able to align, to connect with those higher aspects, and thereby remember what the state of undifferentiated source energy is like. In essence, each fragment of ourselves is intimately connected to our core, and our core is intimately connected to the Godhead, the undifferentiated, infinite source. The process of descending into form is called devolution. An aspect of the Godhead becomes more and more differentiated and extends itself outward into lower and lower densities, actually becoming more and more dense until it reaches the level of simple existence. In other words, a part of ourselves extended outward all the way to the level of pure elemental awareness, or first density. This is the density of what you call non-organic existence, the simplest manifestation of which is the hydrogen element. Once hydrogen is imbued with consciousness, the process of evolution begins. Of course, your scientists cannot measure the level of consciousness in first density because it is minute in comparison to third density. However, your scientists have discovered what you call the quark, and you have a measurement you call Planck's constant. These units are aspects of first density consciousness and are the means to measure the forces behind quantum fluctuations. However, we realize we are speaking to a general audience through this medium and will therefore refrain from a technical scientific discussion. Note, this is a continuation from the discussion that was held on Earth History from the Founders. And this is part two from the Founders. Greetings once again. We are the Founders, happy to help illuminate your path of awakening. Yesterday we began a discourse on the true history of your planet, but we didn't get very far, only to the point where the humanoid form began propagating throughout the universe. This form you have come to know so well, with its arms, legs, torso, head, was the result of genetic experimentation and research comprising a very long period of time, about 900 million of your Earth years. During that time, all manner of exotic life forms were created by permutating the DNA strands and structures. Most of the animal life you are familiar with was brought forth as a side effect of this research. Forgive us, but we are going to back up a bit. This is a vast subject to most of your peoples, and we do not want to leave anything out. Life exists in many forms, some of which you would not even recognize if it were right in front of you. There are carbon-based life forms, silicone-based life forms, and even lithium-based life forms. These are sentient beings with at least a rudimentary understanding and awareness of their presence and the love of the Creator. All life began in the simplest of states. As we mentioned briefly in part one, even hydrogen has a level of awareness. The Creator, in the form of us, began experimenting with different life forms. We found we could take the rudimentary consciousness of a hydrogen atom or a heavier metallic element and permutate the atomic structure, thus creating new and varying forms of life. All life forms we created had a natural tendency to become more organized over time and more sophisticated, gradually growing in self-awareness. The natural evolution of life forms followed what you call the Darwinian evolutionary model. All of our experiments and the experiments of other groups like us were represented by mutations or periods punctuated with intense growth and alteration of form and structure. Your scientists do not understand why there are so many mutations and alterations in living organisms. We are offering an explanation. As life began evolving from first density up through the various mineral and plant stages, there eventually came a level of sophistication and awareness known as the animal stage, wherein it became possible for the higher density souls to incarnate directly into the flesh and blood of these evolving life forms. This is the part that is hard to understand for most of you, but it is as if a tiny fragment of yourself, the animal consciousness, was reunited with the larger part of yourself, your 7D consciousness. To incarnate into an animal form, the tiny aspect, the consciousness of the animal, would have to merge with the larger aspect, the consciousness of the incarnating soul. The cosmic in-breath involves the merging and assimilating of soul fragments into larger and larger conglomerations of consciousness. Incarnation is one way this process is accomplished. The pinnacle of this evolutionary process is the humanoid form. This humanoid form you find yourselves embodying was originally designed to be capable of experiencing seven different dimensions simultaneously. It had the capacity to sit, stand, walk, run, leap, fly, and teleport itself from one place to another. All of these were considered valuable experiences of physicality and ethereality. For this body you inhabit was quasi-physical in the sense that it could be made translucent and fluid, or it could be as solid as you experience it now. This body was designed specifically to work with the gravitational and electromagnetic fields of evolving planets, and its density could be shifted at will from the first through seventh level. During the 900 million year period of experimentation, there were many strange and exotic forms walking upon your planet. You are familiar with some of them, including the dinosaurs. These DNA forms were created as byproducts of our research and the research of other groups who worked with us. There was a period known in your mythology as the Land of Tan. This civilization took place near the beginning of the 100 million year cycle, which is, incidentally, about one half of a revolution of your sun around the central sun of your galaxy. During the time of Tan, or Pangaea, as it is sometimes called, the DNA experimentation was still going on, and there were no safeguards built into the Earth laboratory. This meant that various forms, life forms, could interbreed and create other exotic blends and hybrids. You're perhaps familiar with the Pegasus and Centaur and other creatures resembling a cross between horses and man, or horses and angels. There were many bizarre creatures roaming your world, all a product of genetic experimentation and interspecies breeding. Embedded within the genetic codes of every species was the infinite creator's plan of evolution, known as the in-breath of creation. The in-breath of creation issues forth the universal law of increasing intelligence and self-awareness. All life forms during the in-breath have a blueprint of ascension along the evolutionary spiral, and so as the bizarre life forms of Pan began to grow in awareness, they developed various levels of judgment and discernment through various mental and emotional faculties. They began to become aware of their creator, and they also began to become aware that they were spirits embedded in various physical and etheric forms. As sparks of the original undifferentiated source energy, they felt a longing to return to that source. They began to realize that a part of that source had split off from the vastness of love and light and was going through this outer experience of embodiment. This is the allegorical reference to the tree of knowledge of good and evil in your religious teachings. These life forms were given a realm of creation in which to learn how to become gods in their own right. This realm is known as the fourth dimension, or the realm of mind and knowledge and imagination. Within the blueprint of every life form is the desire to create like the creator. Just as with every child born of a human parent, there are potentialities, hopes, and desires of the parents. Every spark of divinity, as it experienced the various physical embodiments and species, was also developing its desire to become a creator. The infinite creator made a decision a long time ago in earthly terms to place no limits on what could be created by its fledgling children. This was known as the law of free will, and this law has been the source of all pain and misery upon your world and countless others. The creator gave each one of you the ability to create unlike the perfect blueprint. With your fourth dimensional canvas, you could paint any picture you desired from the lovely to the grotesque. The creator wanted to experience every conceivable idea and see it manifest on the canvas of the imagination. And so it is that many of the creator's fledgling life forms experimented with their own DNA to the point of creating misshapen, malformed, and convoluted creatures with similar convoluted mental processes. Many of the sparks of divinity who ventured into these uncharted realms became so mesmerized by their own creations that they forgot there were seventh density beings of the Creator's light and love, and they became more and more immersed in these lower densities. They became identified with the physicality and ethereality of these realms. This is referred to in your religious teachings as the original fall from grace. A popular present-day analogy on your world would be the experience of going into a movie theater. When you are deeply engrossed in the movie, you forget about the outside world until the movie is over, and then you wander, dazed and confused, out of the movie theater, slowly piecing together the reality you just left 2 hours earlier. However, in this case of your fall, the 2 hours is more like 100 million years. So, beloveds, we have two processes unfolding here. The first is the process of evolution from a tiny spark of divinity that begins as inanimate objects, a first density, and slowly evolves through more and more sophisticated levels of genetic configurations, eventually making its way back to the Godhead. Then at the same time, we have the process of devolution, wherein the souls differentiate out of the Godhead as 12th density beings of light and gradually drop their vibration down until they reach the 7th density, where they take the form of luminous beings of light. It is at that point that they can then differentiate further through the process of incarnation until they are able to experience all the levels of evolution from a grain of sand to the source from whence they came. In future segments of this discussion, we will examine how evolution and devolution are intertwined and how souls possessing free will have the capabilities of entering into any level or dimension of creation and experiencing that level or levels. We will also continue with the history of your Earth, examining the civilizations that have come and gone from your world over time, and we will explore the various star races that have incarnated and invaded your world and influenced the life forms evolving on Earth. We are the Founders, and this is the end of Part 2. And next week, we will continue our story of the Earth history, continuing with Part 3. And I'd also like to remind our listeners that for those of you who are really keen upon self-empowerment or in maximizing the immune system, that you can find information at MaxwellGreenSite.com. The name of the site is Healing the Known and the Unknown. And I would also like to encourage people that didn't have opportunity to ask questions this evening, if they want to ask questions, they can also email me at paperfungo, that's paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I'd like to, at this point in time, to wish you all full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. Good night, and hope to see you next week.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.